this morning. We're grateful for our church and for our pastor. Wonderful two messages we already heard this morning. And I just want to mention that today, Ms. Zella's not able to be with us. We have a great grandchild that's with us. And she was a little bit under the weather this morning, but today is our 47th anniversary. And I hope she's listening via live stream today. I want to get as many brownie points as I can. I've been sacrificing, putting back. I was going to take her to McDonald's today, but I guess the weather is going to put us under, behind on that. Well, I said that jokingly. At least we got a laugh this morning. And let me just say real quick while you're turning the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11. We have a minister's practical training that'll be coming up a week from tomorrow at the Rock of Ages Ministries, and so we'd ask you to come on Monday and Tuesday night. We'll have Brother Alan Barker with us and also Brother Tim Green. I'll be doing a preaching on those two nights, and then starting on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 9 o'clock each morning, we'll begin 45-minute sessions all the way through the day with special training classes, and we'll be honored to have you if you're coming. Even if you can't come but to one or two of the sessions, we'll be honored to have you. If you would go on the website, you'll find a place to register. That way, we can be prepared for the meals. As it's already been mentioned this morning, I really didn't come prepared to preach, but always ready to preach at the drop of the hat. And I've been thinking about a devotion we've had at the Rock of Ages over the last few days. We've been in the office, and this passage of Scripture, and so I just want to throw out a few things this morning and hope that'll be of help and blessing to you. Hadn't already heard two wonderful messages this morning. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11. We'll begin in verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let's be seated, if we could, this morning. And we'll ask God's blessings upon the reading of the Scriptures. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we know that the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, is what's become known as Faith's Hall of Fame. Everyone found in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, is someone that God chose to put them in this text and in this chapter of the book of Hebrews because of great accomplishments through their faith in the Lord. As you study the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11, each one had a specific characteristic of their faith that God chose to put them in our text. It's not just that they all lived by faith, but they had a certain aspect of their faith that God placed them there that he wanted us to learn from and implement in our own lives. As we come to our text this morning and we look at specifically in verse number 16, where the Bible says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country. Wherefore, notice this, God is not ashamed to be called their God. As we consider this passage of Scripture this morning, just a very brief thought, is God ashamed of you? As we read our text, although the Bible says God was not ashamed to be called their God, it implies that there are those that do not live by faith, or they do not fit in the category of the Scripture and the context in which we've read, that there are some that God would be ashamed of. We find that the Scripture says, if you're ashamed of me before men, God said, I'll be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. The Bible has much to say concerning God's shamefulness or God being shamed because of Christians and those that are not serving him, and then others that are ashamed to recognize or to honor or to claim God. As we study the Bible, that God is not looking in his writings to flatter men with his writings, nor with the transcripts of the Word of God. As we consider the passage this morning, I'm going to give you just about three or four things very quickly. We'll get out of the way and get to our pastor's message for this morning. But what does the Bible say that the characteristics of these mentioned in our text, what are their characteristics that they possess wherein God said, I'm not ashamed to be called their God?
Well, let's look, if you would please, for just a couple of moments at a couple of things. Number one, look in verse number 13, where the Bible says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth." Notice the Bible says that they died in faith. If I could say it this way, they never became comfortable in this world. They were not overladen, over heavy, burdened with the cares and the things of this world. And so the Bible says that they died in faith. And I believe that one of the things that God is pleased with and God has honored over the life of those in Hebrews 11 is the fact that they never became comfortable with this world, and they were willing to live by faith, to die by faith, and they exercised their walk in their daily life by faith, trusting God to provide every single need that they had. In other words, they didn't quit when things got hard. They didn't stop believing when things were unbelievable. They had faith in God. We find in the text that there were some that died not having received one single promise that God had given to them fulfilled in their entire lifetime. There were others that received a portion of the promises that God gave in their lifetime, but they did not see the complete fulfillment of the promise that God had given to them. And may I say to you that in spite of whatever the circumstances were, they died in faith. In other words, from the time they received the promises of God until the day that God called them home to be with Him, out into eternity, they were unwilling to bend, budge, or bow in their faith toward God. They were willing to not become burdened or overladen with the cares of this world. I remember years ago, we were out in Napa, California. We were preaching for Brother Mike Ray at the church there at Napa Valley Baptist Church. And we had gone out on visitation on Monday, and we were knocking on doors, and preacher had gone to visit with a saint of God that was up in years, and she had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and was we visited with her and spent quite some time with her. Pastor looked at her, Pastor Ray, and said, "We'd like to have a word of prayer with you, if that's okay." And she said, "That'll be just fine." She said, "I want you to know, preacher, before we pray," she said, "I kind of feel like the Apostle Paul over there in the writings of Timothy." She said, I fought a good fight, I finished a course, and I've kept the faith. And I'm looking forward to the great reward, a reward that God has for us. And she said, "I want you to know that I prayed for over 50 years for the conversion of my husband. And on his deathbed, just days before he slipped out into eternity, he bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior." And she said, "I'm looking forward to that blessed day when the Lord calls me home to be with Him. And we'll behold not only His face, but the face of our loved ones." And I thought about the faith for 50-something years as she had prayed for the conversion of her husband. She was willing to die without fulfilling the promises that she had clinged to and the promises of God's eternal word. But God heard and God answered her prayer right before her husband passed away and deceased. May I say to you, my friend, that there are times in our life that God does not answer our prayers right away. But it's not the time to back up. It's not the time to bend. It's not the time to budge. And it's not the time to bow to this world. It's a time to keep up the faith, to die in faith, and stand before Him and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." As I thought about this, I thought about, as I shared with the office staff the other day, I said, you know, some folks, they shout when God blesses. And there is others that they pout when God doesn't bless. But I want to be in those that even if it doesn't seem like God's fixing it, I still want to have faith. It doesn't seem like God's changing it, I still want to have faith. If it doesn't seem like God's heard and answered my prayer, I still want to have faith. I want God to say, "I'm not ashamed for Him to call me His God." And as we consider the scripture, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Then secondly, notice in our text, if you would, in verse number 13 as well, not only did they die in faith, but the Bible said they having not received the promises. Notice the Bible said, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed. Now watch this, that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Not only that did they die in faith, and God said, since they lived their entire life clinging to the promises I gave them, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Secondly, God said, I'm not ashamed of them because they confess that they belong to me. And I'm glad that this morning I can confess that I belong to Him. And I want to be able to stand before Him on that blessed day, having kept the faith, and having finished my course, and having served the Lord with faithfulness. They weren't trying, if I could put it this way. They confessed that this world was not their eternal destination. They confessed that they did not belong here on this earth. Could I say to you this morning that they weren't trying to blend in? They weren't trying to fit in. They weren't trying to be neutral between this thing of Christianity and the things and the cares of this world. They were totally sold out, surrendered, bought out by the blood of Christ. And they were totally committed to the will of God. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. I want to say to you this morning, I want God to say, I'm not ashamed to be called Terry Ellis's God. I'm not ashamed that He serves me. I'm not ashamed that He claims my name. And so I don't want to get too burdened and care with the cares of this world. They weren't trying to blend in. They weren't trying to look like the world. They weren't trying to act like the world. They weren't trying to live like the world. They weren't trying to talk like the world. They weren't trying to do anything with this world. They confessed we're strangers and we're pilgrims on this earth. And a stranger and a pilgrim's just a passing through. They don't get too comfortable in the land wherein they venture and travel through. I would say that they put their faith and trust in God. The Bible says that they weren't trying to escape or fit into the godliness and the generation in which they live. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. May I say to you, my friend, that revival will never come to a church or God's people who is too entangled with the cares of this world. It seems like in most revivals, you can go through an entire week of meetings, and it's just on the last night or two that things may break open. I know there's exceptions to it, but it seems like, if I could just put it this way, in a respectful way, not in an arrogant way, but you have to preach the devil out of God's people in order to get revival to take place in our generation. I remember I preached in Pendleton, Oregon many years ago, a meeting, and it was from a Sunday to a Sunday, and we closed out on a Sunday night, and I preached a message on how a church ought to take care of the pastor. And the pastor came right behind me and stood up, and these are almost the exact words he said verbatim. He said, bless God, if Brother Ellis had preached like that all week, we might have had revival around here. I say to you, my friend, we don't need to get too engrossed and entangled with the cares of this world. We need to dedicate our life unto Him. When the church gets comfortable, God gets quiet. And when the church gets holy, God begins to move in the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost of God, as we heard momentarily ago, as we find Brother Barnes came and preached to us out of the book of Psalm and 23. Let us be plain this morning concerning the Word of God and our dedication and our consecration to Him, that we should confess that this world is not our home and not get too comfortable. Thirdly, if you look with me very briefly this morning in verse number 15. In verse number 15, the Bible says, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out. Notice the Bible said, if they had been mindful of that country from which they come out. You know where I believe a lot of Christians are getting in trouble? We allow our minds to wander to what we were before the grace of God found us. We glory and gloat in our sin too often. We glory and gloat over those things in which we accomplished by the power of the flesh and of the things of this world. But the Bible said in this passage of Scripture, if they had been mindful of those things, they might have turned back. And I believe when we become too comfortable and mindful of where God delivered us from and what He delivered us our soul from, and the darkness and the shame and the degradation, the despondency of this world, I believe that we become dangerously close and flirting with the cares and the things of this world. We find the Bible says that they wouldn't go back, even if they could. If they had been mindful of that country, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. They could have gone back, but they just wouldn't. Some people are saved and they look back at old habits. They look back at old desires and they look back at old sins. That's right. And they gloat and glory in those things. May I put it this way in summary this morning and move on rather speedily. We can never move forward when the heart is always looking backward. That's right. Whether it's a church or an individual or a family, we'll never move forward when our heart is engrossed in that which is behind us. And I believe that's not only where sin is concerning, but also where righteousness has abounded. And I know that we should be mindful of the blessings of God. I'm not denying that this morning. But I believe too often we become comfortable in what God's done in the past. We talk about the good old days of yesteryears, and I thank God for the testimony of the camp meetings and jubilees and revivals and missions conferences in the days of old. I've been in those prayer meetings where the glory of God and the power of God fell upon His church and upon His people. I've been in those meetings where the power of God rested upon the services. And what glorious days they were. But my friend, if all I can do is look back upon those days and never look forward to what God's going to do and what God is doing, I'll fail to give God the glory. And by looking back, I hinder the power and the working and the presence of the Almighty God in heaven that saved us. May I say to you, my friend, they wouldn't move forward because their heart was looking backwards. Those in the Bible that had turned to God, and yet they looked back and were mindful of those things. Lot's wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. May I say to you, my friend, faith does not look backwards. Faith looks forward. Forward to the grace of God. Forward to the things of God that He has for us. Demas looked back and failed. Israel looked back and wandered. May I say to you, fourthly, this morning and quickly, God was not ashamed of them. Verse number 16, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. That's one of the greatest statements of the entire Bible. It's one of the greatest testimonies. God put His name on them. God associated Himself with them. God was not ashamed with them. God said, I was not ashamed to be called their God. I wonder, sitting in our midst this morning, if there are those who would call out upon God and say, I serve the God of heaven, and God would say, I'm ashamed of them. They're not living for me. Their testimony does not match up to the integrity and the character and holiness preached in the Bible. And God said, I'd be ashamed of them. God wasn't embarrassed by the walk. He wasn't embarrassed by their testimony. He wasn't embarrassed by their life. Heaven was watching their testimony. Hell's watching their testimony. But may I say to you, God said, I wasn't ashamed to be called their God. Amen. If I could put it this way, they obeyed God even when it cost them something. I'm glad that we live in a day and age of comfort, of technology beyond belief and imagination. Things that when I was a child mentioned in some of the televised broadcasts and even cartoons of yesteryears as much as 60 years ago seemed nothing more than just a fantasy. But today they become reality. But may I say to you, my friend, that in spite of that, and it still costs something to serve God. It costs something to put our name on the line. It costs us something this morning to be in a position that God would say, I'm not ashamed. Amen. For them to call me their God. Amen. Their promise, their future, it all rested and came down to their integrity, to their commitment to Almighty God. Yes. If I could put it this way, as they stood out by faith, God said, I'm proud of that son. That one's mine over there. I'm glad of that wife. That one's mine over there. I'm glad of that husband. He's mine. I'm glad and I'm honored they call me their God. Yes. I'm not ashamed of that young man or that young lady over there. I'm honored they call me their God. Yes. But I wonder if there are those here this morning that are so weighted down with this world and the affairs, and we've looked backwards rather than forward. And God says, I'm ashamed of you. Amen. Hoping I stand before Him on that day, I'll hear those blessed words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. May God never, ever be ashamed of you and I. Yes. Our Father.